Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Today is Tuesday, and so one of the things that we like to do on Tuesday is get together with Nicole Phillips and talk about kindness. And so, Nicole, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Carmen.
You know,
Absolutely. Today it's kind of personal for me, and I bet that throughout your life you've had ups and downs like this too. Well, my husband lost his job recently, like a week and a half ago, and I try to be brave and I try to be strong and I try to be positive and walk in the way that I know God wants me to. But all of us as followers have times when we just falter, right? And so I had a girlfriend reach out to me and she said, Nick, now is the time when you need to do what you love the most. And she said, and what you love the most is kindness. And she said, so take some of those quiet moments when you're feeling particularly low, she said, and reach out to someone and tell them what they've meant to you. And I thought to myself, I do not have the mental capacity to write anyone a letter right now. And yet I did it. I did one on email and I did another one. I sent someone a card and just, I know that both of those people were going through really, really tough time as well in their own lives. But taking that moment to get my mind off of myself and put it onto somebody else really changed the outlook for my day. And so, Carmen, that's what I would encourage everyone who's listening today is, you know, as followers, you know, Jesus told us it's not going to be easy all the time, people, you know. And so I would encourage people to try and shift their focus off of their own circumstances and onto the circumstances of other people, because there are plenty of people in the world who sure could use an encouraging word.
So, Nicole, first of all, thank you for your transparency and your vulnerability. I think it's an act of kindness to let people in like that. And mm-hmm. you might not even have considered that, but it shows that you trust us with something that yeah. is that's fragile. You have trusted us with something mm-hmm. fragile this morning. And so I think that is a great encouragement. It's an encouragement to be trusted. And it's a challenge and it's an act of bravery. It's an encouragement to do what you have just done, which is to trust other people with something fragile. And so would you allow us as a community to lift you and your husband and your family up in prayer?
Oh, I would love that. Thank you, Carmen. That is a beautiful act of kindness. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for the Phillips family. We thank you for the future filled with hope that you have planned for them. We thank you for the foundational ground in their marriage and in their family that you have already laid. And we thank you for the network of relationships that will sustain them through this job transition. We trust you and we entrust into your hands today our friend Nick. And we just ask you that you would make yourself known today in ways that she can see and recognize, and that you would give her the confidence that no matter what lies ahead, you are there. You are present, and you are faithful, and you are good. And all of these things, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Carmen, that means so much to me. Thank you, and thank you for everyone who just prayed along with you. I sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Nick, we look forward to talking with you next week.
Sounds great. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, friends, next up, one of my friends, Joshua Straub, he's going to be here to talk with us about our feelings. You heard Nick just refer to the feeling of desiring to feel brave, but maybe not always feeling brave about everything. That's actually what the book is about. And so we're going to talk about feelings right now. Are you afraid, happy, jealous, guilty, angry, sad, surprised, embarrassed, brave? Do you even know the difference in all of those? And how do we teach our children how to identify what they're feeling and not be controlled by it? All that up next with Joshua Straub.
There are sad and lonely people everywhere.
You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen LeBurge. Joining me now, Josh Straub. He describes himself first and foremost as a husband to wife Christy and dad to Landon and Kennedy. He also serves as marriage and family strategist for Lifeway Christian Resources. He leads Famous at Home, which is a company equipping organizations, military families, and churches in what we would call emotional intelligence and family wellness. He's got a long list. Let's stop there and just say he and his wife, Christy, have written a great book for you and your kids. It's entitled, What Am I Feeling? And it includes this really cool pullout feelings chart, which, Josh, let me just tell you, is already hanging on the wall in our kitchen.
I love that.
It's not just, by the way, it says on here that the chart is for kids 4 to 8. I'm telling you, it works pretty good for the 50 and 58-year-old in my house.
It's so true. Well, and it's crazy. And first of all, thanks for having me on, Carmen.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. You know, that's the interesting thing we're hearing about the book is, yes, it's a children's book, but it's the adults are the ones going, now, wait a second here. I have to realize this same message and live this same message out in my own life in order for my kids to pick up that message. So that's been one of the coolest things about it.
So when we talk about the message of the book, let me see if I have put my finger on the pulse of it. As we learn to name our emotions, which is a challenge, right? We have to learn to name our emotions. But as we're learning to name our emotions, we can ask God to help us remember that. And here's the quote, a feeling is just a feeling. It's not in charge of you.
That's right. And for, you know, the power of emotional intelligence we see through neuroscience research, and that's what I love doing, is taking what we see through neuroscience research and filtering it through the lens of the Bible and showing how it's proving the Bible to be true in how we relate to other people. And when you see through the lens of neuroscience research, what emotional intelligence really is it's our ability to understand what we're feeling and why we're feeling that way, and then to use that to self-soothe, to really have management over our emotions. Because once we do that, then we can start to understand and enter into the world of another, understand what they're feeling and why they're feeling that way, and then be able to serve them and love them well. And so you really go to love God and love others, the two greatest commandments, really is the idea that we love because he first loved us. So this ability to feel love and experience love, no matter what we're feeling, that feelings come before our actions, feelings come before our thoughts. But those are warning signs. Those are things that God is doing, using in us to tell us about a situation. But then when we sit with him, knowing that we're loved in it, then what it does is it helps us to calm our brain in such a way that we can experience his love and then enter into the world of another person and love them well too. And we just really believe that if we can begin to get that right early on in life and we can help our kids understand feelings and emotions early on, it sets them on a path of being able to serve and love others well in the future.
So one of the connections that you made there is not just about identifying and then verbalizing my own feelings, but also understanding how other people are feeling or how they feel. And that's empathy. And I
Yes.
think that that's a huge part of this, understanding and identifying what other people are feeling. And that is actually something that kids and frankly adults have to learn.
Yeah, well, it's true. And it's one of those lifelong things. I mean, you look at our culture and our world today and you realize our world needs a lot more empathetic people in the world. And so the idea that but a lot of it, too, circles back to the fact that we don't understand what we're feeling. When I was counseling juvenile delinquents, the very first thing that I would do with juvenile delinquents, no matter the I worked from maximum security all the way down to misdemeanors, and it didn't matter across the board. The very first thing that I would do with them is I would give them a feelings chart. It looked a little bit more adultish, if you will, than the one in the book. But they would get the feelings chart. And the reason I would do that is because I wanted them, in order for me as their counselor to help them understand and have remorse on their victims and who they've hurt, they had to first understand what that person was feeling, but they didn't know what they were feeling. Most, if not all, of the juvenile delinquents I ever worked with didn't have a dad in their life or didn't have a male figure, didn't even know who their dad was or didn't have him actively in their lives. And so they didn't have someone walking alongside them, helping them label their emotion or understanding what they were feeling. And when we have an inability to do that, we have an inability. If I can't expect them to know their, if they're not expected to know their feeling, how can I expect them to have remorse on a victim when they have no idea how they even labeled that feeling? And so what we're doing is we're giving language, we're giving words to what we're feeling, because it's powerful for the prefrontal cortex and in the brain. It's a powerful part of growing up and part of really becoming moral human beings, if you will.
So I've got some copies of What Am I Feeling by Dr. Josh and Christy Straub. If you are interested in entering to win a copy, I guess win is the right word, you can text me at 877-933-2484. You can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. We need your name and your physical mailing address because, you know, we want to actually physically mail you the physical book. So if you're interested in a copy of What Am I Feeling, let me know. Josh and I are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Josh, I'm going to ask you about the supplemental material, because one of the things I love about this book is that it's not just a book, like, right, there's all kinds of supplemental material related to it. So yeah, you can learn more about that in just a minute. So if you go to 226parenting.com, that's 226parenting.com, you can connect with Josh. You can also download this free ebook called 7 Practical Ways to Disciple Your Kids. Since I know that the 4 current copies of What Am I Feeling are going super fast. So thank you for those who are texting in, and you are welcome to continue to do so. 877-933-2484, your name and mailing address. You can also email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. We'd love to get you a copy. But you can go to 226parenting.com for lots of great resources. Josh, that's where they can get the podcast. Can they also connect to the really cool Facebook Live thing that you and Christy do, or do they have to go somewhere else to do that?
Yeah, just on Facebook. If you find us on Dr. Josh and Christy on our Facebook page, and you'll find us there. And then also that would also be our personal website as well, drjoshandchristy.com. So, and then the book, What Am I Feeling? If you go to whatamifeelingbook.com, there's supplemental resources on there for the book itself. So,
right. So let's talk about, let's talk about that now. So give that website again, because that's the one that's specifically for the book.
Yeah. Whatamifeelingbook.com. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, whatamifeelingbook.com.
So one of the things that I love about this book, first of all, the book is great. And again, friends, it's really geared toward kids. But let's just all acknowledge that sometimes even as adults, we've lost track of our emotions and how to identify them and what they're for and who made them, and not letting ourselves be controlled by them. So there's a parent guide online for the book, and it's got some memory verses about emotions listed there. So there's great supplemental material in addition to the book. And one of the cool things is the chart. Why don't you just, you know, tell people about this feelings chart and maybe how you use it in your own family?
Yeah. So we have it hanging on our refrigerator. Feelings chart's got 9 different faces on it. Some of them are the characters from the book. And we have it hanging on our refrigerator, and we've heard from other families they do the same, or they have it in their kids' bedroom. And we actually do a feelings check-in first thing in the morning, and we ask our kids, what are you feeling in the morning? And yesterday we just got off of spring break, so our son, he took the magnet. He said, right now I'm feeling sad because I have to go back to school, and I miss, he missed grandma and grandpa because he had just been with grandma and grandpa for a week. And so, but he's like, after school, I'll be this, I'll be happy. And so it just, the ability for kids to be able to, for you to enter into your kids' emotions and their world is powerful. And the other part of this too is Christy and I use this in our marriage. I mean, we, to understand the depths of one another, even in your marriage, like more than just talking about the business of the day, when you can process the emotional part of your day, like, you know, I was feeling excited when this happened, or I felt rejected when this happened, to have that process at the end of the day after the kids are in bed, rather than turning to Netflix or something like that, you really start to get into the depths of your spouse. So yes, this is a kid's book. But as you mentioned earlier, we have heard from so many parents that they're using it for themselves as well, because the reality is our kids will only grow as to the emotional maturity level that we are within our home. And so we have to realize that we have to be growing too. We actually have gotten to a place where we don't use the word parenting as we describe what it means to raise kids. We use the word becoming, because if you look at all of the research, I can sum up pretty much all of the research into one primary conclusion, and that's that our kids become who we are. And so Christy and I are huge advocates of doing our own work and growing ourselves both emotionally and spiritually, because the more that we invest in that, the more beautiful that'll be for our in raising our children. And so that's a great way to use it as well, as even in your marriage.
So one of the ways that Jim and I talk about that same concept is that every once in a while he will look at me or I will look at him and we will just say this one line. You are the curriculum. Like, right? Like, what? Like, okay, you are the curriculum. Like, not you are the teacher, not you are the, but you're the curriculum. Like, they're learning right now.
Yeah, just and it's by, kind of a, by watching. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit of an adult way just between us to say something actually in front of the kids that they're not necessarily quickly processing.
Picking it up.
Right,
yep,
right.
That's a great,
A good way for us to just be able to say, "Wow, I'm seeing or hearing something there that maybe we want to, edit that." Right.
It's so helpful to be able to have that conversation because, it's our kids are picking up what they're watching. It's crazy. There was a meta analysis done, a research study guy by the name of Robert Epstein, and he did this meta analysis and he looked at the top 10 parenting strategies to get the outcomes we're looking for in our kids. The third greatest parenting strategy was how you treat your spouse or how you treat a co-parent in a divorce situation. The second greatest strategy was a parent's ability to manage his or her own stress. Second greatest parenting strategy. Number one was love and affection. I would argue that the top three parenting strategies have nothing to do with a direct relationship with our kids. They have everything to do with who we're becoming as adults. And so we, as you talk about what am I feeling, was a book we put together because, as you know, I wrote a book called Safe House early on why emotional safety was the key to raising kids who live, love, and lead well. And for us, putting a book called What Am I Feeling in the hands of a parent where they can sit down with the child is really putting emotional safety at their fingertips without explaining what emotional safety is, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So that was really the heart behind it.
Okay, so we have 1 minute left. Tell us what's coming next, because this homegrown thing, cultivating kids in the fruit of the spirit, I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a Bible study coming out April 15th called Homegrown, Cultivating Kids in the Fruit of the Spirit. And that really, again, we believe that you can only be as spiritually mature as you are emotionally mature. In other words, if you're not growing, if you're growing spiritually, you're going to be growing emotionally. And so when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, those are characterological traits. But they're also way deeper than that when you look at them as the fruit of the Spirit. They are literally the fruit of the Spirit. And what parent wouldn't want their kids growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control? And so when we take a step back and we say, what do we really desire in the life of our kids? Do we want them to have good grades? Do we want them to be athletic and do great in extracurricular activities? Sure, those things are there. But when you ask parents, it's all these other things that they go, this is what I truly desire in my kids. And so we've put a Bible study together for parents to be able to go through, but then the parents are able to apply activities and questions with their kids. So it's really a Bible study that you could do in a small group with your parent friends, but then also take home and apply with your kids during the week for the entire family to really understand and grow in the fruit of the Spirit.
All right, friends, you can find it all at Dr. Josh and Christy. If you just Google Dr. Josh and Christy, episode 99 of their podcast is going to pop up. Your questions, co-parenting, bad dreams, teaching kids to pray, and more. So that's the kind of really cool stuff that's just immediately available. But there's a ton of other stuff on their website, and it's a great way to connect with them. So, again, thank you for the What Am I Feeling book. We look forward to the homegrown Bible study, and thank you for everything that you're doing online and on Facebook. Josh, again, thank you for joining us today.
Carmen, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. All right, friends, if you want to enter to win one of the copies, you can text me at 877-933-2484. You can always email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. Dr. Al Mohler is up next. Welcome back to Mornings with Carmen. Thank you for all of you who are burning up the text line right now for a copy of Joshua and Christy Straub's What Am I Feeling? Let me just remind you that when you text us, we need your name and your mailing address because we actually want to mail you a physical book. We can't do that over the text line. It would not be nearly as edifying. And you can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, with that same information. If you enter drawings with us, it's really, really helpful if you give us your name and your mailing address. So there you have it. Okay, next up, Dr. Albert Mohler. If you're not familiar with Dr. Mohler, he is the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. We just call it Southern. It's in Louisville, Kentucky. He writes a blog and a regular commentary at albertmohler.com. He's got two podcasts, one that I actually listen to every single day. There's only one thing that I listen to every single day, and that is The Briefing by Dr. Albert Mohler. He is going to be here. He is the author of lots of books, and his latest book is The Apostles' Creed. It's actually, I'm going to ask him this, but he's written a book on the Lord's Prayer, and he's written a book on the Ten Commandments. And so this is like, you know, I would look at this as like the third in his catechetical series. So we're going to ask him that question in just a minute.
When a teenage son or daughter is careening in the wrong direction, the pain can bond parents together or rip the seams of their marriage in two. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Naturally, parents want to help their teens when they're in trouble, but they also want to know how to keep their marriage from taking the same turn. One thing I encourage husbands and wives to do is to build in some fun times together. No matter how stressful the situation with your teen, it's okay to still have fun, especially with your spouse. Laugh and have fun together as often as you can, because there are many more miles to go. So what are you doing tonight? Yes, tonight. Mom, Dad, go have a little fun.
Parenting Teens isn't for the faint of heart. Want more help from Mark Gregston? Find books and other resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org or search for Parenting Today's Teens in your favorite app store.
Friends, what do you believe and what do you rely on in terms of your confidence of a confessional faith as an authentic Christian living in the context of a really confused culture and world? One of the ways I sort all of that out is by listening every day to The Briefing by Dr. Albert Mohler of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We have him here this morning with us to discuss his newest book, The Apostles' Creed. And Dr. Mohler, first of all, welcome to Mornings with Carmen, and thank you for being with us today.
Carmen, always great to be with you. Thank you.
So I want to start with this question. Are you trying to catechize Southern Baptists? Because I have sniffed out that this is the third book in what might be a series. The first one was on the Ten Commandments. I feel like that came out a number of years ago, Words from the Fire. And then you did one very recently on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that turns the world upside down. And now we've got the Apostles' Creed, discovering authentic Christianity in the age of counterfeits. Are you trying to catechize Southern Baptists?
Well, I certainly am, Carmen, and I'd be glad to catechize others than Southern Baptists as well, other believers. But you well recognize there are those three legs of a tripod of historic Christian teaching, with the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed. So this is my intentional third volume in that series, and I appreciate you noticing that.
Absolutely. Well, I am a student of yours. If someone can cobble together a transcript by listening to you teach in your various and sundry incarnations of what you do around and about, I have quite a Mohler transcript emerging. So I really appreciate this Apostles' Creed book. Let me start with this. We're talking about the faith once delivered, not just anything or any set of ideas that I might cobble together or syncretize that meets my needs in the modern day. Talk with us about the value of the faith once delivered, because I feel like that's sort of the why behind this Apostles' Creed book.
Well, it really is. You know, there are people who think of Christianity as kind of a bucket of doctrines, and different people have different doctrines. But the New Testament reveals a faith delivered intact and whole. And that's especially what the Apostles' Creed tries to articulate, to confess, to protect, to teach. And so I want to believe the very same Christianity taught by the Apostles, given by Christ to the Apostles, and by the Apostles given to us. Especially in the day of counterfeits, there's so many false Christianities out there. So that's a big reason behind the writing of this book.
So when we talk about Christian doctrine, I think that there are probably folks who kind of glaze over. But this is really a book that is designed to put the Apostles' Creed not only in my head and not only in my heart, but in my footsteps. Like, this is a walking out of the faith into the realities of the world. Talk about that connection.
Well, Christianity is a faith to be lived, a faith to be lived, a faith to be obeyed, a faith to take us into every dimension of life. And, you know, when people think of, if they think of the Apostles' Creed, they might think of it just as a statement of facts, which, of course, it is. But, you know, it takes the shape of narrative. It takes the shape of telling the story of Jesus and beginning with God the Father. It's an amazingly concise way of understanding quickly what authentic Christianity is. Just like, to mention the others, the Ten Commandments are the summary of the entire law. The Lord's Prayer, it takes just 20 minutes to read it, but that's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And the Apostles' Creed is this short summary of the Christian faith, telling us what essential Christianity is, and to know that Christians have been have cherished and have been taught by this creed for so many centuries is an incredible encouragement to me.
So when we I want you to unpack one of these phrases, but in order to do that, I think we're going to have to devote a considerable number of minutes. So I want to do that after the break. But before we go into the break, Dr. Mueller, I would appreciate if you would just share with people who are listening, when you meditate on the scriptures, when you meditate on the Lord's Prayer, when you meditate on the Ten Commandments, when you meditate on the Apostles' Creed, what does that look like?
Well, long ago, I memorized them, and that was very important to me, so that I don't have to think about them as in trying to remember word by word or worrying if I've got a phrase missing somewhere. All three are so concise, they're quite easily memorized. And then when I think of them, I think of them phrase by phrase, and I think they're meant to be understood that way. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that is phrase by phrase. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Or the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Those are statements. They are phrases, and they're truth claims. And strength comes into my life spiritually. Just meditating upon every one of those phrases. This is exactly who we believe in. This is the one true God, the God who is maker of heaven and earth.
So I so appreciate that. If you are interested in a copy of this book, which now they're just going to totally blow up my text line, but that's okay. So the book is The Apostles' Creed, Discovering Authentic Christianity in an Age of Counterfeits. It literally just became available today. So you haven't had it in your hands yet. And if you would like to enter a drawing for one of the copies that we have in studio, we're giving them away. You can text me your name and address, 877-933-2484. You can email me that same information at carmen@myfaithradio.com. I'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Albert Mueller, and he is going to unpack for us one phrase of the Apostles' Creed, and I'm going to specifically ask him to unpack the phrase about Easter, which is quickly approaching. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBerge.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe.
We're talking with Dr. Albert Mueller from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary about his brand new book, The Apostles' Creed, Discovering Authentic Christianity in an Age of Counterfeits. Dr. Mueller, when we say we believe, that's a significant part of this conversation. And one of the phrases in the Apostles' Creed that I'd just like for you to unpack is the one about Easter. On the third day, he arose from the dead.
Well, that's right. That's essential Christianity. The Apostles' Creed is only a few dozen words. That's it. And so if you have to express true Christianity, what every Christian must know and believe, in just a short economy of words, then you can only put in the most essential truths. And the center of the entire creed is about Jesus Christ. And that is indeed the entire hinge of the Apostles' Creed, is right in the middle. The third day he arose again from the dead. The declaration of his bodily, physical resurrection from the dead as the vindication of his atoning work on the cross. It is the great hinge of history. It's the great hinge of the Apostles' Creed. There is no Christianity without the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord is raised from the dead, as the Bible says, then everything is changed. And so arguably, that very phrase is the central hinge phrase of the entire creed.
So how do we respond today when people who consider themselves to be Christians, but who don't believe what you just described as necessary for essential Christianity, and they would say, well, the Apostles' Creed's an ancient statement. It's a part of our theological heritage. It's no longer relevant. How would you have us respond to folks like that?
Well, you know, I like the way you began the question, Carmen, when you said, what about people who believe themselves to be Christians or consider themselves to be Christians, but who don't believe essential Christianity? Well, the Bible says they're not Christians. They may be, affiliated with some kind of Christianity or some church somewhere, but if they don't believe the truths about Christ, they're not Christians. And that's not on my authority. That's not even on the authority of the Apostles' Creed. That is what the apostles were and what the church was trying to say in the creed, that this is necessary. But just consider the apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, when he tells us that a Christian is one who confesses with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believes in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. And Paul makes the defense of the bodily resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15 crystal clear. So it's not just me, certainly. It's not even just the Apostles' Creed. It's the New Testament that says that there is no Christianity, there is no Christian, where there isn't belief in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
So, Dr. Moeller, you and I both know that every single day we are confronted with cultural realities that present themselves as ways in which people might operate in the world in sort of a pseudo-Christian way. How does the Apostles' Creed, and along with it the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer, how do these strengthen us, not only in our orthodoxy but in our orthopraxy, in how we actually live out the faith, not only as individuals but corporately as the body of Christ in the world today?
Well, that's another very good question. You know, one of the venerable phrases of the church is that as we believe, so we pray. And that's just really important. As we believe, so we pray. Our beliefs show up in our prayers. If we listen to ourselves pray, we're going to figure out what it is we really believe. And these beliefs are what take us out into the world. We're the people who go out into the world as those who believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That means that our entire worldview begins with the understanding that there is a creator God who has made the universe. The universe is not purposeless. It has meaning. It's not directionless. It has direction under his sovereignty. We're the people who believe in the brokenness of the world, but we believe in the fact that the Father gave Jesus Christ his Son. And we believe all the truths about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. We believe it all, and even as we confess it in the creed. When we go out into the world, we need to understand what is right and wrong. And we walk into the world armed with the Ten Commandments as the very structure of God's law. And we can't imagine what it would be to try to negotiate, to live, operate in this world without it. And then... we are driven to prayer, and the Lord's Prayer is not some kind of mood prayer. It's, again, a prayer based in truth, in which Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And many times during the day, true Christians are driven either on our knees or just however our posture, to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." We need these structures for the Christian faith. Without them, Christianity just becomes kind of a mood, what some contemporary people would just call a spirituality. Of course, Christianity is a spirituality, but it's truth, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, and one of the things I greatly appreciate about the way you approach the briefing, the way you approach thinking in public, obviously the commentaries that you post at albertmoeller.com, and your leadership of Southern Seminary, I appreciate that you're not selling Christianity as like a slice of the pie. You're not allowing me to believe a delusion about Christianity being like an add-on to the rest of my life. That it's the spiritual add-in to whatever else I've got going on. You really help us understand how Christianity is, if it's authentic, it is the operating system of my life. You use some language related to that has the word whole in it, but it's not springing to my mind right now. But I'm sure it's springing to your mind that Christianity is, and you use the word whole when you describe it.
Right. Christianity is a whole truth claim, which applies to all of life all the time. It is a whole, whole. It's not just a bunch of pieces, and it claims my whole life. And that gives me great comfort, Carmen. I very much appreciate the way you express your own confidence in the reality of the Christian faith. That's what we want listeners to hear. We want them to know Christ. We want them to know true Christianity. And true Christianity is not just a mind game. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ by which we're saved, a gospel that sends us into the world. And it's the world's filled with counterfeits, as the subtitle of my new book indicates. We've got to have some structural guides to help us to distinguish between the counterfeits and true Christianity. We want the true Christianity.
Absolutely. So the new book is The Apostles' Creed, Discovering Authentic Christianity in an Age of Counterfeits. I've got a couple of copies. You can text your name and address to 877-933-2484. You could email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. I highly recommend getting all three books, The Apostles' Creed, Discovering Authentic Christianity in an Age of Counterfeits, along with The Prayer That Turns the World Upside Down, which is about the Lord's Prayer as a manifesto for revolution, and then Words from the Fire, which is hearing the voice of God in the Ten Commandments. This, if you're looking for not just Dr. Moeller's view of what I would call, you know, a systematic operational theology to walk your faith out into the realities of the real world, but if you're looking for something that is actually easily accessible, like this is written by a seminary president, but it's written at a lay level. And so, Dr. Moeller, again, thank you so much for what you do every single day. I feast on the briefing, so thank you for getting up every day and doing that first thing. Thank you for thinking in public. Folks, you can find Dr. Moeller at albertmoeller.com. If you follow him on Twitter, you will find out he's a really, really, really proud grandpa. Thank you so much, sir.
Carmen, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
All right, friends, we're going to wrap it up here in just a minute on Mornings with Carmen. So as you walk your faith out into the world that God so loves, do so not only as an agent of God's grace, but as a person who is constantly drawing upon the reality of who God is. Like, you and I are not Christians out there in the world because we have adopted ideas about Jesus. No, we are Christians. We are representing Christ to the world. And what was Christ here doing? He was representing the Father, exegeting God. That's what we're... Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.